So, time for the next update from my world travels, my South America trip. I last did the update from Punta Arenas in the very southern tip of Chile. And then from there, I got on a cruise ship and went right, or what's known as east, through the Straits of Magellan and then to the Falkland Isles. Now, I did actually stop at the Falkland Isles, or the cruise ship stopped at the Falkland Isles, but I had a show that night. I was working, so I didn't get off the ship and do anything, so I'm going to save that update for later. So then we went up north, missed Argentina, and hit Montevideo, which is the capital city of Uruguay. Now, I've worked a lot and cruised quite a lot in South America, and I've spent maybe in total 15 days now in Montevideo, and a few times overnight in hotels and lots of times like that. So I know the city quite well, even though now, you know, once I visit places a few times, I get into quite a normal routine, like a walk that I'll do over and over again, and sort of get to know one part of the city. So Montevideo, capital city, not a lot going on there. It's not very big, mainly because Uruguay itself isn't a very big country. It's made as a country pretty much just as like a buffer zone between Brazil and Argentina, just so there was something in between them so they didn't constantly bicker sort of as they're going through all this sort of colonial process and things like that. I mean, that's probably not the only reason it exists, but that seems to be the only reason why I can find it exists. The city itself, though, is like on this peninsula that sticks out into the River Plate estuary, and that's where the old town is. So there's the harbour on one side, and then it's sort of open to the sea on the other side of this peninsula. So what normally happens is when I get off the ship, there'll be a cruise ship, it'll go in and dock there in the harbour, or I'll join at a hotel. And one of the things that I really like doing is just walking up through the old town, because you've got those little pedestrian streets and cafes along there. You've got the main square, the Independence Square in the old town and city centre, with a statue in the middle. And then from there, you've got this very long shopping street. In fact, you've got quite a few shopping streets, but there's one main long shopping street which goes up then through the city centre of the city. And if you want to get anything, if you want to buy anything, pretty much it can be found along that one shopping street. There are other like shopping centres outside of the city centre which you can go to, and I have done a few times, but generally you don't need to head off those. So my mission this time out in the city was to find a nose clip. Because my nose clip broke, and I go swimming most days when I'm working on a cruise ship, and I always have a pair of goggles and a nose clip, and my nose clip broke, so I was trying to find that, and also a juggling ring, because when I was doing a show, or when I was doing a setup for a show the other day, I dropped a juggling ring, and it just disappeared. And it was really weird how, because there's a big space under the stage, so we think it might have fallen down a crack, like, in the stage and underneath the stage, but there was, like, six people, me and five technicians, all looking around trying to find a juggling ring. So that was the main thing that I was trying to do, is find a nose clip and a juggling ring. Not a great mission in a foreign country, but that's what I was wanting to. I found a nose clip, and it's exactly the same kind of nose clip as I had before. But when I actually asked, you know, how much it was in euros or in dollars, it worked out around about $28 or something for the nose clip. And considering I bought exactly the same nose clip before for like 5 euros back in Berlin, I thought, well, I'm not going to bother that. The one that I had and broken was still just about working, so I didn't get that. And also, all over the place, couldn't find any juggling equipment anywhere. I found like some really like toy, nasty toy Diabolos, but no juggling rings. So that was pretty much a fail of my mission there. But I did have quite a good fun just walking through the town, having a drink at a cafe. There's this one cafe that I go to normally and set my laptop up and use the internet in there. And of course, lots of other people who work on cruise ships do. And because the cruise ship that I was working on last time, which was back in sort of December and the beginning of January, there were people from the ship, the other entertainers from the ship who I knew from then, I met them there in the same cafe, because the other cruise ship, the NCL Sun, was the Norwegian Sun was in in town at the same time as well, which was quite fun to meet up with these other people again. Again, there's not a huge amount to do in the city, though. Like I say, I just mainly walk through and take photos. But the thing is, I've taken lots of photos of all the interesting buildings in the city. You've got this, you know, lots of different kinds of interesting architecture there. I don't even quite sure the name of some of the architecture. You've got, like, the theatre, which is sort of, like, I guess, neoclassical kind of thing with all the columns and stuff. And you've got the, like, modern architecture down by the point, a very pointy building. The main government building is in the same direction. Like if you go down the port and along the way there, there's sort of like the main parliament building, congress building. I'm actually not entirely sure what it's called. And that's really strange because it's like this big monolithic block, and then on top of the block it's got these like columned kind of things sticking up but not actually holding anything up, which is a very strange building. And it's got a very distinct outline, so once you see that you'll recognize it straight away from the postcards and things. The main building that you'll recognize in the city center, though, in the city square, was the tallest building. Once it was the tallest building in South America, and now it's not even the tallest building in Montevideo, but it was this old hotel, and it's got all these bits coming off of it and these bulges coming off of it. It's got this long tower and then this sort of steelwork truss going up from the center. Again, look on the blog post for this and in the information for this podcast, you'll see a photo of it there. And one of the best things that you can do is actually, if you want to get a bit of a handle on Montevideo itself, is go onto YouTube and type in Panic Attack 2009. What somebody did, a guy who, a special effects creator who lived in the city, did, he made a film, a short film, only like 5 minutes long, worth seeing though, of alien robots coming into Montevideo and attacking the city and blowing up all of the different buildings that you know if you've been there a few times and walked around. But if you actually want to get a good feel for the city and the people and one certain person's vision of the city, check out Panic Attack 2009. I'll put a link in the notes as well for that. It's really good fun to check out. So, I was mainly just walking around the city. I was doing some photography. I've taken most of the pictures that I want of the city. So what I do is just stick my wide-angle lens on my camera and then just walk around and just took one photo at a time, you know, because I really enjoy just, like you say, just putting one lens on the camera and just then, like, one setting and then doing it. So what I was doing with the wide-angle lens, or what I often do with it, is just hold it low as I'm walking along and just snapping blind, you know, as I walk past people. And I got a few interesting photos, or some good photos this time, some street entertainers, and also there was a young man drawing a picture in the main square. And I'm going to do that more in the future, you know, just walk past, click, just hold it down sort of below waist level and click photos of things down at sort of street level as I go past. So that's all I did this time around, so I might as well share some other stories of Montevideo, because I'm not sure when I'm going to go back, and I have done quite a bit there before. One of the only interesting things that you'll read in the history books about Montevideo is from the Second World War, which is the River Plate Battle, or the Battle of the Plate Estuary, or the River Plate. And what happened was that there was the German battleship, huge battleship called the Graf Spee, and that was operating down in the southern Atlantic. It was mainly there to prey on sort of Allied shipping. And the British sent out a battle group of their own battleships to go down there and destroy it and to patrol the same area and to make it safe for Allied shipping. That was the idea. And what happened was that they got into an exchange with the Graf Spee and damaged it quite badly. Now, in the Second World War, Uruguay was a neutral country, and any like German and or Allied and Axis ships could go into the harbour, no problem at all there in Montevideo. The thing is, it's very shallow out to sea, and there's only these very few channels which you can actually take large ships through through the estuary and up to Buenos Aires, which is on the same estuary, and into Montevideo. So what happened was it was badly damaged, but they're allowed to go into the harbour for 72 hours, and then they have to leave the harbour again because it's neutral, so anyone could do that. So what the captain of the Graf Spee did, he took the ship in there, but he didn't have enough time to repair it, and it was very, very badly damaged. You know, the engines had been damaged, and the hull had been damaged, so it wasn't doing very well at all. What happened was that the British agents there, and the British embassy, and the British operatives in Uruguay started putting out rumours that this huge British battle group of battleships was heading to Montevideo. It wasn't actually happening, you know. It was just sort of it was just rumours. It was lies that they were spreading, but that's what the rumours that they spread around. And of course, that word got back to the captain of the Graf Spee. And so what he did, he didn't want to risk taking all his men out to sea in an unworthy battleship and then going up against this British battle group. So what he did, he took his boat out just outside of the harbour of Montevideo, into the estuary there, and scuttled the ship, actually sank the ship himself, and got on a boat and went back into Montevideo. And of course, no loss of life to any German soldiers, no loss of life to any British sailors or German sailors or anyone like that at all. The thing is, this British battle group wasn't actually there and never was there at all. They did have some battleships in the area, but that was it. So it was a really, really clever misinformation sort of propaganda victory there, where they managed to wipe out one of the main German battleships in the South Atlantic. And even now, to this day, you can that you know, people do go out there and dive down and see it, although you can't really do that very easily. But what happened is that it raised different parts. You can actually see the anchor of the Graf Spee out in the harbour of Montevideo Harbour. And you can also see the rangefinder as well. There is actually a shipwreck that you can see, and everyone who goes past it on cruise ships thinking, oh, this is a Graf Spee, this is a Graf Spee, because there's like a single mast sticking up above the waterline. That's actually a much later wreck, because once these ships go into the silt at the bottom of the in the bottom of the harbour, there's not a lot of way around them, you know, and they just sink in there as well, so they sort of have to reroute shipping around these sunken ships. But you can see it, can see these sunken ships, the mast of sunken ships sticking up above the waterline, and that just shows how shallow the water is there. One other thing about sunken ships, well, not so much sunken ships. The first time I ever visited Montevideo, I was there with my ex-girlfriend. We performed together on cruise ships, and we weren't actually going to Montevideo. We'd flown into Punta del Este, which is a place just up the coast. It's sort of like the main resort town in Uruguay, and lots of Brazilians and lots of Argentinians go up to Punta del Este. But there was too much wind there, and so the cruise ship that we're getting onto couldn't set out its tender service. So we went down into Montevideo, stayed overnight in a hotel in Montevideo, and we're going to join the ship the next day. However, when we got down to the harbour, we got to the port agent there, and they said, no, we can't do it, because one of the cruise ships in the harbour has hit a container barge. So what happened was, there was a NCL ship, the Norwegian Dream, which we were actually going to work on a few weeks later. That was going to be the next cruise ship that we're going to work on. As it was going out of the harbour, there was some miscommunication between the Spanish-speaking pilot and the English-speaking captain, and there was this crosswind that came in. As I said, it was quite windy out at sea at that time. Container barge came free or something like that, and the cruise ship hit it, which meant that there was a huge big dent in the front of the Norwegian Dream cruise ship, and it knocked containers into the estuary. Now, as I said just before, that the estuary there is so shallow that there was no way that the cruise ship could then get out, and there was another cruise ship stuck in the harbour which also couldn't get out. And the cruise ship that we wanted to get onto, Polo and I wanted to get onto, was stuck out at sea. It was called the Marco Polo, and it was stuck out at sea, so we couldn't get there. So we had another night in a hotel, another day in Montevideo, and then the next day we went out and joined the ship. It's still the harbour was still closed off, but we went out on the pilot boat. So that cruise ship missed two stops in a row, but we came back to Montevideo a few days later after Buenos Aires. So even to this day, the very narrow entrance in and out of the harbour still has impact on the shipping there coming in and out. But it's a good cruise destination. There's lots of other things to do there in the city. I'm sure if I return, I'll talk more about it in a later podcast. Otherwise, this has gone on plenty long enough. Hope you enjoyed this one, and the next update will be my adventures in Buenos Aires, which I've already done because I was there a few days ago, and I'm recording this podcast a few days after each of these destinations. So hopefully you don't mind that, and I'll catch you next time.